I'm going to be talking about this being the week of Veterans Day and the week of the tragedy at Fort Hood. I want to talk about this, and I want to talk about it for a couple of reasons. One, I think that the media has done not a great job of setting the context. And by that I mean that they have gone from speculation to political correctness to horrifying charges without setting the context of understanding and the broader understanding of who we are as a nation, how we are in the world, and what is the shape and content of our polity, and how easy it is to be confused between the individual particular and a larger group. And as human beings have a history of not operating well in panic and fear, I think that the context is important. I address this, yes, as your minister today, but also because this is my field, academically, of comparative religion with a subspecialty in Islam. I have a degree in international relations, politics, economics, and military strategy, and I teach courses in terrorism, not how-to courses, mind you, because the world doesn't need that. And I'm offended at the lack of candor on one side and the stampeding on another. The New York Times laid out the Fort Hood tragedy as, was it a lone wolf nut or was it terrorism? That's a false choice. The answer is yes. It was, as far as we know now, a lone wolf nut who took his own personal issues and pain and rage, whatever their just cause might have been, and acted in a completely inappropriate manner. So he is, as far as we know at this moment, a lone wolf in this action. But he also operates out of a context. And that context is also part of the political reality of our world, which if we don't recognize, we can't make the intelligent choices of human compassion and understanding. Part of the context is that there is within Islam at the moment a militant and violent strain. It doesn't represent 5% of the entire religion. And the danger in things like this is we either avoid the topic altogether or we say, oh, those Muslims, what is it about them? Well, what is it about them is that them is the same as us, but I'll get to that in a minute. There is a context just last week on one of the Al-Qaeda in Arabia websites called The Echo. Nasir al-Mirashi basically put out a fatwa that said, attack the Crusaders where they live. Doesn't have to be big and dramatic. You don't have to build bombs. You don't have to work going to drugstores and making, his example, 10 grams of an explosive. But in your mother's kitchen, you can find the implements for a IED. You can find the knives, the guns, and all the other things to work as a lone wolf. There is a context, and that's part of the reality of the world right now. So we ignore the context at the cost, through sometimes political correctness, sometimes through just sensitivity, sometimes through not wanting to rush it. But I think that there's very little doubt that major, and that's much of the shocking part of this, is major, and psychiatrist, maybe not so shocking. Sorry about that, but I grew up on the street with four psychoanalysts, so I've been traumatized. He was on websites that were radical websites and sharing ideas and rationalizations of why a suicide bombing is not suicide, and why it's a heroic act, in his words, like throwing yourself on the grenade to protect your friends. There's a context of both sides. But when we jump to the conclusion that that's something about Islam, then we jump to an erroneous and a dangerous conclusion, a conclusion that led to Japanese being locked up during World War II in the state of California under liberal Governor Warren. We jump to conclusions in one category, but it's so interesting, in World War II, we didn't lock up a lot of people with Italian and German names. Well, in World War I, we changed the name of sauerkraut to Freedom Kraut or something. Victory Cabbage, thank you. Victory Cabbage, that's right. Almost as good as the French fries becoming Freedom Fries. We look at the wrong categories. Anybody know who the terrorist Yigal Amir is? Sounds like an Arab, doesn't it? Well, it was the Israeli Orthodox fundamentalist who killed Yitzhak Rabin. Religious terrorism, whether it's a lone wolf or a conspiracy, is not the property of one religious group. And the great danger in our society today is that we either avoid the subject or we draw the wrong conclusions. When I am teaching courses in Islam and the Islam's relationship with the West, I always get this question. Is there something uniquely violent in Islam and the Quran that's causing all of this trouble in the world? And for once, there's actually an easy, short answer. No. There is violence in the Quran, as there's violence in Hebrew scriptures, as there is general punishment in Hebrew scriptures where Moses is ordered to go out and kill 10% of the people for the sins of people he couldn't identify. God is relatively violent also in some of our scripture. It's there, but there's nothing unique about it. Why don't the people who ask me, is there something unique in Islam, implying that there must be because of all of the problems that we're having? They're not asking the question that was asked 50 years ago, with the same answer, by the way. Is there something unique in the German gene pool that makes them start wars and have holocausts? No one asks, is there something unique in the structure of Christianity, where they spent thousands of years, 1,500 years, killing each other in wholesale numbers over which one more perfectly worshiped the gentle and loving Savior? Is there something unique in that? Is there something unique in the Roman character that didn't just kill people who were dissidents or whom they thought were criminals, but crucified them to maximize the suffering and the spectacle, not to mention the Colosseum? Is there something unique in the political system of communism that leads to a Stalin, to Maoist purges, to Pol Pot? Is there something unique in non-communism that leads Indonesia and Sukarno into the slaughtering of the communists? It should be clear that the leitmotif, the connecting issue here, is not a faith, not an ethnicity. It is humanity. It is the inhumanity of humanity built into our DNA that lets us hate and fear and marginalize the other, that lets us look at a particular and draw a general conclusion. Bernie Madoff, a Jew. Wow. Stole all that money. Must be true of the group. Major Dr. Hassan, a Muslim. Must mean that those American Muslims just aren't real citizens and we ought to super vet them. We ought to look at them in the military and make sure they're okay. Amir Yigdal, or Yigdal Amir. The very greatest loss of life and domestic terror came from Timothy McVeigh, a white Christian vet of the first Gulf War. Why don't I get questions? Is there something about white guys? Is there something about Christians? Is there something about veterans? Why is it that I get, is there something about Muslims? We need to understand the scope and universality of who we are as human beings. There are not two species of human beings. There are not two species of religion. Any religion, any political system can be, you can hunt and you can pick and you can find the violence and the intolerance. You can find people who will read violent and intolerant and hateful meanings into innocent words. Just as we all understand that the Constitution of the United States is not an objectively known document. It's ink on paper, written a little over 200 years ago, but it says what the interpreters say that it says. And Mr. Justice Scalia and Madam Justice Ginsburg read a different Constitution even though the marks on the paper are the same. There are people who read a different Quran. In Surah Al-Kafiruna, the Quran says, in the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. Praise be God, merciful and compassionate. I do not serve what you serve, nor do you serve what I serve. I do not follow your way, nor you mine. To you yours, and to me mine. In good and happy times, people understand this is, so have a nice day, I'll see you for lunch. In bad times, radicals can find a reason to take that same passage and want to kill you. Same passage, different, radically different interpretations. Well, that kind of radically different interpretation could never happen in America or in Christianity. Let's see, your body is the temple of Christ. One group builds hospitals, one group builds reading rooms. Same major premise to completely different interpretations of what it means. Our religions are Rorschach tests. And much of the world fails at finding things in that are not intended. Is there violence in the Quran? Of course. As there is in the apocalyptic literature in both Judaism and Christianity, as there is in the Gita of Hindus, as there is in humanity. But does it dominate a people and a religion? No. Are the loudest and most violent people the ones that we see on television? Yes. Do people come on sometimes to defend and make excuses? Yes. I don't think that the Muslim community has been particularly well served by some of its spokespeople. Not all, but some. It's so important that we understand where the responsibility for these acts are. And they're within individual human beings. Yes, there's a broad political context, but right now, a tiny branch of Islam is being used as the gathering point of grievance of people from all different ethnicities and religious backgrounds. That's true. It's an organizing principle, but that's the uniform. That's the uniform of grievance and discontent. Yes, there are grievances to be had out there. If somebody like Major Hassan is looking at what's going on in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and he's dealing with people with post-traumatic stress disorder, and he has a particular sense of connection to his people and his co-religionists, that is human. What he took from it was inhuman. Well, it was all too human, but it was inhuman and inhumane. But it doesn't mark a people or a faith any more than Timothy McVeigh represented Christianity or Yigdal Amir represented Judaism. The aberrant find ways to let out their violence. This was all the evidence is, this was a political, religious act. This was a suicidal act. This was an attempt to commit suicide by police or by army. He gave away his things. He was unsuccessful in trying to get disconnected from the military when, after going through what he went through. And it says something about our time. It says something about the context of our time. It says something about him. But it doesn't say anything about the huge majority of decent Muslims who may have criticism of American foreign policy or domestic policy. It doesn't say anything about their faith. It doesn't say anything about anyone's faith any more than all of those other individuals who created gross indecencies against humanity by their own monstrous acts. We need to be able to talk, to express our fears in this world, because it is a frightening world. We need to be able to acknowledge our sense of vulnerability, but we also need to be able to discern the difference between the individual, a small group, and a large group. I'm sure that there are some Americans in this room who from time to time in the 60s, 70s, 80s, or 90s wandered through Europe and didn't like the assumptions that were being made about you as Americans. And you said, well, just a second, that's not every American. I'm not Richard Nixon. I'm not Lyndon Johnson. I'm not, pick a side. You understood your individuality, and you still could feel a special connection to America. Muslims can do the same thing, as can Christians, as can Jews, as can Hindus and Buddhists. We share the same potential for violence and for fear. My greatest fear, to quote Franklin Delano Roosevelt, is fear itself, is that we will take this out of context, out of proportion, and start looking at those thems out there, at all those thems that might not be as real an American as you are. They're real Americans. They're real human beings. And we share a community, a state, a nation, and a world. We cannot go to war with a billion Muslims and not be forever changed and diminished ourselves. There are not a billion Muslims that want to go to war with us. We need to see people, including ourselves, as individuals. We need to be able to look at the fears and not be panicked by them. I used to spend a lot of time when I lived in North Africa, when they kept wanting to know who to blame for the Middle East situation, doing the only sensible thing and blaming the English, which worked pretty well at the time. But I want to rehabilitate the English right now. They went through so many years of violence from the IRA. They went through so many years of really bad things happening to innocent people from the IRA. Bombs going off, people being assassinated on Irish soil and on English soil, and they did not go out and round up everybody with an O in front of their name. They didn't stop. They didn't frisk everybody that sounded the least bit Irish. They didn't live in paralyzing fear and the destructive projection of hatred. They are an example to all of us. Understand it's a dangerous world. Understand that we are vulnerable. Understand that bad things will happen, sometimes from a lone wolf from one community and sometimes a small band of people. But don't make the crazy, racist, xenophobic conclusions that it's about a religion, an ethnicity, and a people. It's not. It's about a person, and it's about all of us. And we need to be able to see and embrace and talk and understand each other with a degree of patience. It doesn't mean that you can't say, no, that was wrong. It doesn't mean that you can't reject the violence as hideously inappropriate. But it does mean that you don't do guilt by association. This is a moment and an opportunity to find hands to join and not rage to keep us apart.